The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
I don't think it's all as negative as it might seem. For example, this is the acting CMO Ronan Glynn talking at their press conference on Thursday night. And basically, there's a strong message coming out now, which is to try and hold the line for just a little longer. Listen to this.
What I would say to people is to look what we've come through. Whilst next week or the week after seems like a long time away on the one hand, what I would say to people is start to look forward to June, to July, to August, to a time when hopefully the vast majority of the population is protected, to a time when we have much lower levels of disease in the community in relative terms to what they're dealing with today. But we're not there yet. So we've got to get through the next 2 to 3 months. There's brighter days coming, but we're not there yet.
OK, so brighter days are coming. And indeed, on the front of the Irish Daily Star today, Luke O'Neill is talking about those brighter days. Luke O'Neill, of course, Trinity College immunologist. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
You're talking in the Star today about basically, I think the point you're making roughly is something that maybe we've forgotten a little bit in our clamour and our frenzy around we want all the vaccines from everybody, is that we don't have to vaccinate everybody to get into a much better position. So you're saying like that May we'll have a 90% decrease in deaths, hospitalizations, etc.
Yeah, exactly, Brendan. And that's based on science, thankfully. The data from Israel continues to amaze. You know, huge efficacy in that population. And the UK as well, by the way, you know. So there's really good evidence these vaccines are working gangbusters. So, and again, the two key milestones are protect the vulnerable, protect the elderly. Then we're in a much better place already. The herd immunity will take months and months and months to achieve, you see. So let's not worry about that. You know, let's just get everybody who's vulnerable and older groups protected as quick as we can.
OK, and you think that offers us opportunities then and we're in a different situation. I suppose the concern at the moment, Luke, is that we're looking at Italy kicking off very badly again, even Germany. And what seems to be happening there is that the UK variant is hitting there. And I saw Ronan Glynn say in his message last night, we're almost dealing with a different virus. And looking at those, are you concerned about those numbers in the last 3 days? And is it a question that if there's any bit of an easement at all, this thing takes off like a rocket again?
There is a concern because we haven't got full vaccination of the things that we want yet, you see. And this slight trend is obviously being flagged now as something to look at. And you're right, Italy, a couple of places in Europe are seeing this bumping up a bit, you know. So again, we're still in the thick of it, basically. And we still need to the bottom line is keep observing everything. Don't let our guard down is the constant message, isn't it? But once we get to May, June, and the risk of death and hospitalization is massively lower, then we can begin to think, oh, hang on, what can we loosen up here, you know? And there'll be huge clamour for this. As we always say, never forget the stress this is causing everybody in all kinds of ways. So the governments around the world have to cut their people a bit of slack if the numbers are in the right direction. Inevitably, yeah, it's all about the data, you know. But that data looks great. And as I say, in Israel, Scotland, you know, the UK. I mean, the UK are killing us. They've vaccinated 36 people per 100 now, which is incredible. You know, the EU is on only 10, hence the pressure to get all these vaccines
that's
out.
Sure, look, it's absolutely sickening. And you're looking at the English papers today and about how they're getting a bumper delivery next week or something. Yep. Everyone over 40 now done by May. I think. What did you think of Arlene Foster asking Boris Johnson yesterday for vaccines for the Republic of Ireland? Given that, like, you know, we've talked a lot about this being one island epidemiologically in a way. Will it make sense for them at a point in May or whatever to say, OK, if we want to protect Northern Ireland, we actually need to help our friends in the Republic?
Exactly. Go for it. No pride here, Ben.
Yeah.
Take whatever's going, you know. And if there's a spare vaccine in the north now, it's ridiculous that wouldn't be given to the south, isn't it? It's just stupid, you know. So I would have no hesitation in taking anybody. If anybody offers us a vaccine, take it. Is the bottom line, really.
Yeah. Listen, would you have any worry that the cases have gone up the last three evenings they've been up now? And it probably is just about the right amount of time for the effect of mobility. I'll be killed for saying this, but the mobility around schools, would that be having its effect at this stage, like kind of 10 days later? Is that a concern there?
I don't think so. I mean, all the information is the schools have done very well, you know. Like, but again, they'll have those numbers. We'd have to ask them to say, where are these cases coming from precisely?
Yeah, but I think they don't really know, do they?
they don't know for the moment, but they will figure that one out. I hope it's not that, I'd say, you know, but I don't think it's that. It is just a bit more mingling is what's happening, you know. And remember, Brendan, if young people get infected, that's not a huge deal in terms of risk of hospitalisation. The next number to watch for is, will those numbers translate into more people in hospital, you see? And we don't know that yet, and we got to hope that's not the case, of course.
So are you saying so that actually at a certain point our focus on case numbers kind of becomes less relevant and the focus needs to be more on what is the actual net effect on hospitalisations, severe illness, death, etc.?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, we don't report the number of people dying from flu every December, do we, on the news, you know? So again, once we get over this phase, case numbers won't need to be reported. They'll still be there, but they won't be a concern because they won't be translating into hospitalisation, you see, in severity. That's the key chain. The vaccines break that chain, by the way, Ben. It's okay to get a vaccine and have sniffles as long as it doesn't turn into severe disease. Then that's much better, you know?
Yeah. So I suppose your message is similar to Ronan Glynn's in a way, in that we do need to hold the line for another little bit, but that in the, say, mediumish term, May, things are looking better. Is that what you're saying, really? But we still have to kind of, you reckon we still have to keep a firm lid on things for now?
We do. We do indeed. And I'm 100% agree with him. Yeah, and he's trying to give people a bit of hope, Brendan, which we all need, don't we? You know, I mean, the country is still suffering, in my view, terribly. So that message was very, really good from him, I think.
And listen, can I ask you before you go, Luke, did you read this story about the AstraZeneca factory in the Netherlands, which you might understand it slightly better than I do, but it seems quite strange. Are you familiar with it?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes,
can you explain it to me?
I can. It's disappointing. I mean, AstraZeneca are not doing a good job is the bottom line, Brendan. And of course, they've been called out by all the politicians, including Ursula von der Leyen. I mean, there's a plant in Holland which has contracted to make loads of AstraZeneca vaccine. They've made buckets of it, but they can't release it because AstraZeneca have not applied for approval for that factory to be given permission, if you know what I mean. So what happens is the regulator has to go around all the factories and make sure they're all up to scratch. This huge plant in Holland hasn't been given permission to issue its vaccine yet. And that has to be seen as a cock-up from AstraZeneca's point of view.
Okay, and it is one of the two European factories included in the contract, isn't it? I think there are four in all, two of them in Europe.
Okay, yeah, there's one in Belgium, and they didn't do well either. The Belgian plant at CNS, they've delivered a lot less than what they should have, you see. So the two main factories, basically, AstraZeneca have in Europe aren't performing. And it's an AstraZeneca problem because they're the company who own the factory, you know.
Okay, but Europe needs to approve that facility and then do we suspect there are millions of vaccines there? There are.
That's the word. The shelves are groaning with them. And Thierry Breton, he's the man in the EU, the industry commissioner, who went to the factory last week and had a look, you see. And he says, look, we can't approve it because you haven't given us the documentation fully, you know. So he's putting pressure on AstraZeneca to give them all the information. I reckon it'll be sorted, but I mean, that will release the logjam. Now, they're working very hard to approve that factory for obvious reasons, because it's a disgrace. There's all that vaccine sitting there, you see. So I bet they will approve it in the next, maybe even next week. You never know, you know.
Okay, and look, I know you're the eternal optimist, but I hope you're right about that one. Okay, Professor Luke O'Neill, always good to talk to you. Thanks very much.